My name is Brad Hambrick. What I would love to do is take just a moment to pray, to ask that God would bless the coffee, that it would have its full effect, that on this day of the conference, that we would be fully alert and engaged in our minds, able to absorb all that is ahead of us today. So if you don't mind, pray with me. Lord, we are grateful, humbled, to get to be your ambassadors, that we get to be agents of hope and comfort and grace and change in the midst of hardships of life. Lord, we are not fit for the task, but you have chosen in your grace and mercy to call us to it. We pray that you would help us to engage it well. I pray that you would take the time that we have here this morning as we think about what it looks like to redeem every conversation and to equip every saint to be ambassadors of yours in the settings where you have placed them. Lord, we would be delighted if, as a result of this short span of time, that cause were advanced just a bit. Lord, we love you, and in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, you should have in your notebook the notes that have been prepared there. As you begin to get to know me, you will figure out as you look at the notes that one of my ministry philosophies is that I'm OCD, so you don't have to be. I've tried to put down about everything that I could think of that I was going to say so that you can underline or highlight or frowny face or whatever it is that you want to do with that. So we will try to be good to one another in that regard. But our topic is speaking of Christ and the gospel as a licensed counselor. When we think of counseling in the variety of settings that it can be in, there are oftentimes restrictions that come if someone is a licensed mental health professional. And how would someone in that setting speak of Christ and the gospel? What would be best practices? What would be door-opening conversations? What are the challenges? Because as we do counseling, we're going to rub elbows with our people helping neighbors. If we do a good job at what we do, there are going to be those who do things differently than what we do as biblical counselors that are going to be interested in getting to know, hey, what do you do? If we do a good job, they're going to say, hey, you've worked with so-and-so, I've worked with so-and-so, they really bragged on what you did, I would like to know more about that. I'd be interested to learn about the approach that you take. And I think it's great that churches are doing this. How do we cooperate well? That has been my experience, where I spent a little over 8 years serving in a parachurch counseling center. For a little over 8 to 9 years now, I've served as the pastor of counseling at the Summit Church. And as counseling is done well, other people who help people, and that's why they got into the profession, they like people who help people. And so you get to have conversations. And this type of conversation here is one that both in speaking of Christ with the licensed mental health professional and equipping them and setting them up to speak of Christ and the gospel in their setting has been some really exciting and fruitful conversations that I've gotten to be a part of, and hopefully it will be beneficial here. So, preface question. What's the difference between counseling in a ministry-based setting, where most of us here, I would assume, myself included, serve, as compared to a licensed counseling setting? That when we do counseling in a local church, at a Starbucks, in a living room, what is the difference between doing that and doing it in a setting where third-party reimbursement happens, where the informed consent is different, where there is some state oversight through a licensing board involved? Ed Welch, in his article for the Journal of Biblical Counseling, he kind of sets up the conversation. He says, I'll use the term clinical rather than Christian or integrationist, and I'll use the term pastoral rather than biblical or non-integrationist. Clinical refers to counseling approaches that seek to be shaped by empirical data and therapeutic professionalism. Pastoral refers to approaches that seek to be guided by the purposes and insights that are explicitly from the Bible. And so, hopefully as we look at that, One of the things that we could say is that biblical counseling is not against empirical data or professionalism. In any of our statements, we kind of always say we're not against empirical data. We are grateful for those who help people well. At the same time, biblical counseling is most at home in peer-based relationships that focus on character formation as the means of symptom relief. That means the vast majority of biblical counselors will prefer not to operate within the constraints that we're going to talk about. That's totally fine. I have always chosen that I would rather do counseling in a ministry-based setting than a licensed setting. So we're not advocating for a change of jurisdiction here. We are asking the question, how do we best equip our people helping neighbors who are licensed, those who do counseling vocationally, that this is their career, how do we equip them to speak of Christ and the gospel in their setting? And so one of the premises that I have is that counseling that honors Christ can be done in either setting. But understanding the limitations and opportunities of each setting is important to be an effective ambassador of Christ. And there are limitations and opportunities in both settings. There are certain people who are just never going to come to a church. They're not going to come to a ministry-based counseling. But they will meet with a licensed mental health professional. There are people that I had the opportunity to serve in a parachurch setting that would never have come to talk to me as the pastor of counseling at the Summit Church. And so there's some opportunities there that if we are looking to have as much redemptive influence as possible, that we'd want to think through, well, how to cultivate that. The clearest parallel in my mind is that of teachers. There's some teachers who say, you know, I want to teach in an explicitly Christian school setting. I want to be able to describe and overtly talk about the Christian and biblical underpinnings for the subject matter that I discuss. Other teachers say, you know, I want to serve in a public school setting. I don't want, not that everybody who goes to a Christian school is a Christian, but I would like more of a unsaved, lost population, both in my students and in my coworkers, so that I can be salt and light in those settings. They choose to operate under certain restrictions, and they want to be wise and strategic in the way that they do that. That's the kind of conversation that we're having here. Many Christians enter counseling as a vocation rather than a ministry. Unless we believe that vocational counseling is inherently wrong, then our responsibility as a biblical counseling movement is to educate and equip our brothers and sisters who counsel vocationally to be as distinctively Christian as their setting will allow. One of the things that we want to do is not just bring conviction that you should speak of Christ and of the gospel, but we also want to bring instruction. We want to bring best practices. We want to bring ways to engage and prompt the conversation. Because in no setting would it be okay for us to bring conviction without instruction. And so as we look at it here, that's what we're setting up to do. I give you some links to look at that if you have questions going, there's so much more that could be said here. Yes, there is, but the nice people in the back have a clock on me because they know I was trained in a seminary, and people who are trained in seminaries require clocks staring at them, counting backwards. They turn red when we talk too long. So a second preface question. What are the obstacles? What are the things that get in the way of openly speaking about Christ and the gospel? Well, the simplest place to state that is the ethical guidelines that states put out there. I give you a sample from the APA. If this is an area that is of interest to you, the LMFT, licensure ethics, are a bit more open to being expressly Christian in that setting than the LPC code of ethics. And so that's something where if somebody's talking to you and say, hey, this is a route that I'm looking to go, how do I think about it? Well, just saying, hey, you should look through the code of ethics that you would be signing on to and the various options that are out there before you do that. But if you read that, there's really two words that would come to the forefront as words that we would need to be able to think through and navigate if we're going to help our brothers and sisters who are licensed think about speaking of Christ and the gospel in the counseling setting. And those two big words are bias and discrimination. You know, with bias, we would have to be able to